This is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. Meadows is the stage name for Christopher Vodenstein. He hails from Sweden, but this week he's in Northwest Arkansas as a guest of the House of Songs. While he's been here this week, he's co-written songs with local musicians and writers Sarah Lothan and Jake Herzog. Earlier this week, he came to the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio at KUAF to talk with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis and to give us a sample of his music.
By the water, can you see me when the wind blows through empty quarters? Now you'll never know, but you'd already know by now. Oh. Oh. When your love grew, I was there too. Should have told you I'm the only boy awake now, gazing at the stars. I dive into the blue, hang you this before. I never had to hide away. I don't really want to talk like this no more. I will walk until the night turns to day. And you. Oh. By the water, can you see me when the wind blows through empty quarters? Now you'll never know, 'cause you'd already know, you'd already know by now.
I come from a very musical family. My dad is a very good guitarist. My mom was always singing. My sister singing. My brother is a dancer. So music was always around the house. And I guess I was just one of those kids that whenever I would learn a new chord, I would write a new song. It was just natural. Most of the songs were really bad, but it became kind of second nature. That's what I want to do with my music, is write my own music. And I just had this kind of inert need to express or put my thoughts into words. I was always talking to myself when I was a kid, so I guess that's just how I tried to make sense of my own human experience, put it into songs.
Well, and it seems like most of your songs that you're playing guitar on, it features kind of this fingerstyle picking.
Yeah.
How did that develop? Why'd you go with fingerstyle rather than a pick or any other way of playing?
Well, I grew up with Chet Atkins. That's my dad taught me very well that this is the greatest music on earth.
He wasn't wrong.
No, I wasn't wrong at all. So it was a lot of Chet Atkins, Mel Travis, lots of fingerstyle stuff at home. And then I got into, I started playing top 40s. So a lot of strumming, touring bars. And then someone told me that I should go into studying music. So I learned a jazz tune and I learned a Chet Atkins tune, and I went and did the test to get in, and I got in, and then they told me, you're going to play classical. And I thought, yeah, that sounds cool. But I really got into it. So I got myself a master's in Baroque music, basically. And I really liked it, even though that's also just playing covers, which I figured out later down the road. But yeah, it came from Chet Atkins and that kind of Nashville picking to classical, and then listened a lot to Paul Simon and stuff like that when I was a kid. Yeah.
Do you feel like your education in Baroque music still bleeds into your everyday music that you're performing?
Yeah, a lot. I think like just paying attention to details. Like I think it's pretty easy to just pick stuff on your guitar, but I try to keep it dynamic, because if you're just a sad beard with a guitar, you don't have a lot of dynamics, you know,
right,
to go up and down. And I'm kind of a quiet singer too, so I have to work with dynamics, and I learned that a lot through my classical studies. And of course, it's just nice to have control of your right hand. I started working with open tunings, which you do a lot in Baroque music too. Mm-hmm. Like you do some alternative tunings. You might not think so, but just to get the guitar to ring a little bit more open. So yeah, I would say it does. Like I like to have songs balanced, and that comes from my classical background, I guess.
Okay. One of the songs you played earlier was The Only Boy Awake.
Yeah.
It's from an EP you released a few years ago.
Yeah, it's almost 4 years.
Since you released that, it's gotten several million plays. That song has gotten several million plays on Spotify, right?
Yeah.
Did you expect that? I mean, did you expect it to get more than 10 million plays on Spotify, that one song?
No. I mean, the whole EP is at like 30 million. I was expecting, when I popped over the 1,000, when they actually show it on Spotify, I was like, yeah, oh, look, like 1,000 plays. That's amazing. So I never expected that. And numbers are just numbers, but it doesn't really mean anything. But I still know that there are millions of people that heard this song. And many of them, of course, they have no idea what song they were listening to. But it's, of course, that's what you want when you release your music, to have people spend their time with it. So it's an amazing experience, especially since it got picked up for a Netflix series. And that series is called 13 Reasons Why, and that series meant a lot for a lot of young people, and they connected very much to that song. So I got a lot of beautiful messages for this song meant to them, and that meant just way more than these numbers of streams, knowing that it actually reached someone.
What do you think it is about that song and that album that connected so deeply with other people?
Well, it's, I mean, us Scandinavians, we're kind of known for making very melancholic stuff. But I think that for me, poetry and songs, if someone managed to put words to something that's floating around inside of you, it's just, I think that's what happened with especially that song, that everyone had that experience of walking alone at night feeling like you're the last person on earth. And I think that it just helps having someone put that emotion into words. And it's hard for me to say what connects them, but I don't know. It's a snappy song.
I would agree. I guess. This isn't your first time to play in the U.S., though, is it?
No, I've been here twice. I did a little tour through Georgia, South Carolina, and New Jersey. And then I also went back once to Kansas City, in Missouri. And this is my first time in Arkansas. I thought I was going to the Midwest. I said that to my friends in New York. Like, Arkansas, that's Midwest. Like,
No,
deep south.
So what would you say, is there anything different between, you know, the previous times you were here in the U.S. and now?
Yeah, a lot. For starters, I enjoyed New York this time. I really didn't last time. I had a whole day off, and I spent it in a public library because I just couldn't take the city. It was too overwhelming. And this time I had some good friends that showed me around. And also, like last time I was here, I was in Kansas. I was by myself, but I met a lot of new people there. That was nice, but I realized that I really missed the South, because when I was here the first time, Georgia and South Carolina really got to me. Like, it's just something with the whole atmosphere down here that I guess I connect to better coming from a small place like Sweden. It's friendly, and you can strike up a conversation with anyone, and people just, you know, polite and nice, and I feel very comfortable here. So yeah, it's a bit different this time. I feel a little bit more home, I think.
So you're writing while you're here.
Yeah.
Obviously. But it seems like that's something you could do almost anywhere. Why come here to write?
Well, I met the House of Songs people in Kansas City at the Folk Alliance Festival a few years back. And several of them became very good friends. So we met here and there around the world on festivals. And when I got the invitation to come here, you know, I'd never been that much into co-writes. It always scared me. And now I thought I need to challenge myself. And I was always impressed with the American, the songwriting tradition here. I just thought, if I go here, maybe I can pick up some tricks and steal some good riffs and, yeah, learn a little bit. And also, when I wrote the songs for my album, I went to a house out in the woods in Sweden by a lake and sat there for 5 days, and it was just amazing. So I thought, now I have the chance to go to a beautiful place, be in a house, have time dedicated to just writing music and really get into it. And when you're doing a music career, it's so much focus on numbers. Like you said, like all my streams, and I have a record label here, and you're just trying to make a living and make everything grow. It's very fatiguing for your creativity to talk about this numbers.
Yeah.
It's great. But here I can focus on the art. And everyone I met from the House of Songs, they're like, all of them have great stories. Then I spent some time with Troy Campbell yesterday. We had some food and a coffee, and it was just extremely inspiring to listen to his stories. I'm just getting a bit pumped up. I can't wait to go on the road and play my music and get back into the studio. And I really didn't feel like that a few months ago. I was kind of ready to just do something else. So I'm just very, very happy to get my juices flowing a bit here.
I watch you watch me patiently. For my eyes to close and my heart to see. And we will never dance, that's how it goes. Staring through the glass of empty windows, you press your thin hands to the ceiling. And your feet are nailed to the floor. And you can see but you can't feel how the wind blows. When you're staring through the glass of empty windows. I know you never lie, but this, all you and I have thought that this would fly. I turn my eyes down low and I see the stars below. I know I have to go and break through the glass of empty windows.
Swedish singer-songwriter Christopher Vodenstein, who performs as Meadows, speaking with and performing for Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis earlier this week. Tonight, he performs at Engel and Volker's Northwest Arkansas, formerly Midtown Associates in Springdale. Music begins at 7. You can find out more about his music at meadows.se.